Yourself, Billy, I got a lot to offer God. You know, I just feel like I'm somebody. Anybody else feel that way? You know, that's the problem with salvation for most people, and most people will never come to salvation because most time is one or two reasons. One is I'm too bad for God to save. The other one is I'm not bad. I don't need saving. And both of those are from the pit of hell. Because if you can't see the love of God in his, in its splendor and totality, then you'll never get saved. But you have to know that you need a Savior. Think about Israel. When God delivered them out of Egypt, why they never reached the promised land, except for two. They didn't have a clue that they were dead and needed a Savior. You know, if you'd have left us in Egypt, but you brought us out here to die, not realizing when you was in Egypt, you was dead. So if we don't realize, man, in Egypt, I was dead in trespasses and sins, and God came down in the person of Christ and says, I want to make you an offer. Not one that you can't confuse because you can't refuse, because most people does refuse it. But for each of those who says yes to the gospel, say, I want to give you something. I want to give you a life. And I only got one kind of life. That life is called eternal life. That's why I don't know how anybody can preach against eternal life, because God only offers eternal life. That's why he seals you with himself. Now, am I going to hell is the question he asks you and me. Am I going to send myself to hell? Because if I send you to hell after you believe, I got to be there with you, because I said I'd never leave nor forsake you. The promise of the Spirit is forever. So how can sinful man, who don't think he's so sinful, do anything in the eyes of a true and a holy God, except he's accept that righteous gift of life from Christ through the work of the cross? Man, we make it complicated. It is so simple. Christ died for our sins. And you know how we know he died? Because they buried him. That's what they do, dead folks. But he got up. Amen. Amen. That's the gospel message. He got up. Because he got up, now we got power. The Bible said, Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God to everyone that believe. Therein is the righteousness. Therein is the righteousness of God. Therein what? That gospel message. Because he's died, that means the sin debt had been paid. My sin killed him. His life resurrects me and resurrects you. So the gospel, it's it. That's it. And the next guy standing here, if he don't teach that, don't believe that, then he ain't standing here. How's that? So have no fears about that. You know, if that happens, Greg will probably come at midnight and set the church on fire. And I'd probably be with him. Because if we allow that here as a body, then we're all responsible for what we get. But anyway, that being said, we haven't started a thing on gifts. Gifts. Were there gifts? Are there gifts? Yes, there were gifts. That was the gifts of tongues, the gifts of healing, a whole bunch of gifts. But the question is, are they in operation today? And that's the problem that you got with most of the body, because most of the body of Christ believe in some form or another that some of these gifts are still in the church. that God said that they were going to vanish away. There would be no need for them. Jews require a sign. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, all the way back, man, you go back to the very first Jewish prophet. They all basically want a sign. Give us a sign. Give us a sign. Give us a sign. So when Christ came on the scene, you know, why would that disappear with these people who've always believed that? That's all they ever had, right? I mean, the prophet Isaiah said that God was going to heal the sick. He's going to stop the ears of the deaf. He's going to give the blind sight. He was going to do all that. That was one of the things that was going to make us know that this is Messiah, that that kingdom of heaven is at hand, is here, because that's where all the healing is going to be. I mean, you read now when in millennial reign, how much sickness you're going to see, because that was a promise to the Jew and not to the church. Here's how you're going to tell the Messiah. Man, he's going to have healing. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jew a stumbling block, and unto the Greek foolishness. But we preach Christ crucified unto the Jew, as he said, a stumbling block. And to the Greek is foolishness. That's why Paul in other places said a foolishness preaching of the gospel. Re-preach a foolish message. Somebody got up. Somebody played your send that. Oh, by the way, he got killed. Kings don't get killed. Jews ask for a sign. Please give us a sign. Give us a sign. Go back to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 8, and let's see where it all began. Well, not where it all began, but how Christ talks about it, how Matthew writes about it. In Matthew chapter 8, in verse 14, and I'm going to give you all some secret information that y'all probably didn't know, because I love doing that. Don't tell nobody I told you, but it's going to make sense when I give it to you, too. Watch. Verse 14, he said, when Jesus was coming to Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her. And she arose and ministered unto them. When evening had come, they brought unto him many who was possessed with devils and cast out the spirits with his word. And he healed all, how many? All that were sick. No misfires, right? Like you see today. He wasn't healed because he didn't have enough faith, right? How many were healed here? Did he say anything about they having faith? Start with Peter's mother-in-law, right? That it might be fulfilled. Now watch this. It was spoken by the prophet Isaiah saying himself took our infirmities and bare our sickness. Now, this is why Peter denied Christ three times. To heal his mother-in-law. See, y'all missed that one. Fast forward to Matthew chapter 10. But now watch how the Bible sets it up here. Watch how it sets it up. Oh, it shows the loving kindness of Christ. He said, Peter, I forgive you before you deny me three times. Peter said, "Who? I'm not going to deny you three times." He said, yes, you are, Peter. I had them be God, and I know I got a little bit more knowledge than you, Peter. I already see you doing it. But anyway, Matthew chapter 10. He just named his 12 disciples who become his apostles, right? And he sent these 12 and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles. I think that's me and you. He said, and unto the city of the Samaritans, that's the half Jew. Don't go to these people, because this is not for them, right? He said, but go rather into the sheep, the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Watch this. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of heaven is at hand, not the church. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. This is the king. This is Messiah. He's here. The one that Isaiah wrote about in Isaiah chapter 6. This is the king. He's here. Prove that he's here. He's doing what he said he was going to do that Isaiah wrote about. He said he's going to cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. Now that just kills the modern healing moving right there. Freely, right? Don't ask nobody to sow a seed. Just sow healing. Provide neither gold or silver, a brass in your purses. Man, tell that to some of the guys today. They got a lot of greenbacks in their purses. But we want some of this. We're not going to take all of it. We're not going to do this free. He says, now let's go to Acts chapter 20. Now, Matthew just laid it out. He's going to the lost sheep, right? He's going to Israel. All these signs and wonders going to be done for Israel, right? Amen. What you're going to see is you're going to see a drift over. You're going to see some of these signs go over to the Gentiles for one purpose. To prove to the Jew that this is the same salvation. God's only given one salvation. It wasn't given to me and you so that we could look and say, God's given us a sign. He never promised us a sign. He tells us to walk out by faith, not by sight. I can see you blabbing in a tongue. I can see you fake healing somebody back there. You know, I hate to keep telling y'all this, but man, I was watching a guy this morning on television. Somebody had died, and they drug him over and put his hand on the television, and they prayed, and he got up from the dead. Oh, now, Greg, you said, just video it. Or go down to the morgue where this guy said, this guy is graveyard dead, and get him off the gurney. And put it on the 5 o'clock news. How many people you think might follow you? You'd have a pretty good following, right? But it never happens. Never happens. Oh, we didn't get it on video because, you know, we don't want to be boastful. Well, that's all you do. That's your whole ministry is boasting. Look at Acts chapter 20. Did I say Acts chapter 20? Okay, I just want to see if y'all was listening. Acts chapter 20, verse 8. Acts chapter 20, verse 8. Watch this. And there were many lights in the upper chamber where they were gathered together. And there sat in a window a certain young man named Eutychus, who had fallen into a deep sleep. So Paul must have preached a long time. That's what the Bible said. And Paul was long preaching. He sunk down with sleep and fell from, I guess that's the third floor, huh? Or the third loft. You think that might kill somebody? Well, it did him. What happened in the rest of that verse? What happened when Paul went down and breathed on him? Did he not come alive? Now, this is written in God's word, so we can believe it, right? I don't need a Kodak, camcorder. God said, did this happen? It happened, right? No question about it. Paul raised this guy from the dead. Last week we saw where Peter healed the guy that hadn't walked in, what, 40 years? No therapy, no nothing. The guy leaped just like Isaiah said he would do, right? He leaped. How do you leap, man? His leg probably looked like this after 40 years not walking. But who was it that did that? God. God said, look, I can do it through you, Peter. I can do it through you, Paul, because the Jews are going to require it. And guess what? All the signs, all the miracles, and they still hung him on a cross. So signs ain't all that, right? You know, God regards us a lot higher than he did the Jew because he says, you saw no miracles and you believe. Blessed are those who simply by faith believe what I say. But Paul raised Eutychus from the dead. No questions about it. Now fast forward to the book of Philippians. Of course there was these gifts. They were in the church. But as you go forward, from the early church to the established church, gone. Not one of these gifts that we're talking about. Well, of course, you see pastors, you see teachers, you see deacons, you see all that. But you don't see this. It's not needed. Because the pastors and the deacons and all those people, that's why the Bible said be apt to teach. Because faith now comes how? By not seeing. So you're either going to believe it from the word of God or you're going to believe what you see. Philippians chapter 2, verse 26. Same dude that just raised Eutychus from the dead can't heal the sick no more. Isn't that a shame? It says this in verse 26. He longed after you all that he was full of heaviness because ye had heard that he had been sick. For indeed he was sick, nigh unto death. But God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. Well, wait a minute, Paul. Let's back up a second. Why didn't you heal him? You raised the dead. Paul said he ain't got the gift no more. It's gone. Just like he said in 1 Corinthians 13, it's going to vanish away. It's going to be done away. It's going to be rendered useless. You're not going to need it. Instead, Paul says, walk by faith, not by sight. Jews require a sign. Ain't done, 1 Timothy. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 5. First Timothy chapter 5, verse 23. Here's Paul talking to Timothy, who is a preacher. Now you think Timothy would have the gift, and Paul would have the gift, right? Paul tells Timothy this, drink no longer water, but use a little wine for what? A little wine for thy stomach's sake and thy oft infirmity. Let me help you with the word here, infirmity. Sickness. Disease. Paul healed him. Why don't you heal him, Paul? You had the gift. You don't got it no more? as my 5-year-old would say. You don't got it no more? What happened? Did it go out the window? Did you leave it at Ephesus? What happened? Paul, you can't. As a matter of fact, the same word Paul used there, he used on himself when he said he sought the Lord 3 times to heal him. But he said, God's strength is in my infirmities, his sicknesses. Paul, heal yourself. So that's it for healing. It's gone. And as far as tongues is concerned, he simply tells us tongues are for a sign for the unbeliever. Not for the believer, but yet they tell me if I don't speak in tongues, I don't have the Spirit. Because when you speak in tongues, that's a sign that you have the Spirit, right? So you see how important it is to understand what is and what ain't. You know what Greg used to say? Things that are different are not the same. Well, this is a different age. We're in the church age. We're not in the early church. If you read the book of Acts and you come out thinking that those are the way that the church is run today, you're going to be so confused, and that's how people are today in the body of Christ. So confused. If you think you're not going to be confused, turn to Acts chapter 19. I've had these discussions with some of the theologians in the prison. And they want to challenge you with stuff like, well, the Bible said God's the same today and yesterday and forever. Really, let's go build an ark. Oh, you're being funny. Well, if he's the same, if that's what he means by being the same, he is the same. He never changed. He always will be truth. But they are dispensational truths. And you better know what dispensation you're in to apply God's truth to you, because you're going to be a mess if you don't. If you think so, let's grow a farm and start growing some sheep and stuff for sacrifices. How about that one? You can't pick and choose. Now, you're going to have to take all of it or none of it. Or take it all, put it together, and rightly divide it. In Acts chapter 19. Here's Paul. Now, Paul, before this, he had a professional job of killing Christians. But now, Paul has changed uniforms. He's on the right side. And it says this in 19, verse 2. Now, I want you to apply this to yourself today. And he said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said unto him, we have not as much heard that there be any Holy Ghost. Could you say anything like that today? Would any Christian say anything like that today? No, because we already know that we've been baptized into the body by the Spirit, right? But Paul says, look, verse 3, and they said to him, we've not heard. That, you know, verse 3, Paul said, and then, unto what were you baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. So I want y'all to tell me, how could you apply this to you today? Okay, we don't have the Spirit, Paul. What you going to do? They said we were baptized with John's baptism, which was the baptism of repentance, right? changing your mind about Messiah, changing their mind about who Christ is. So they will be John's baptism waiting for the Spirit baptism to come. In other words, waiting to be baptized into the body or waiting for the explanation of it. Now we got all the truth and we see the explanation of it. You go to 1 Corinthians, was it chapter 13, verse 12? And it tells you the explanation. You believe the Spirit baptizes you into the body of Christ. What you got going on here, Paul wasn't at the day of Pentecost. These guys weren't at the day of Pentecost. So they didn't get the Spirit when the Spirit came down. So God is doing two things here. He's validating Paul's apostleship. And these guys are getting the Spirit. In other words, they're identifying with Christ. They're repenting about who Christ is. Acts 2:38 says the same thing. Be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Christ for the remission of sin. It doesn't say repent of your sins. It said be baptized for the remission of your sins. Because Jewish people, what you believe in before this message, there's no salvation in it. If there's salvation in John's baptism, Paul wouldn't have to give them the real baptism or the real Spirit, right? So the gifts that were in the church, a whole bunch of them God took out. And you got to stay tuned to next week to find out what's out and what's in. We'll see plainly next week. Lord, again, thank you for all the gifts, Lord. There was a purpose in them, or you wouldn't have given them. But Lord, you want us to understand and rightly divide what's for us and what's not for us. Because when we just take the Bible as a pot of gumbo, we can become legalistic, or very frankly, never get saved. But when we understand the truth, search after the truth, you will always show up. You simply said, those who diligently seek me, they'll find. And Lord, we just thank you for a salvation that's a gift from you. If there's any other way, if we had to buy it, Lord, we would all be hellbound. So for that cause, we give you all the honor, all the glory. And we know that through your Son, we are what we are. And it's in that mighty name that I pray. Amen.